The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, so good. I love how we're acting like we weren't just on a fucking 30-minute meeting with Bloody Disgusting before this.
It's as though we haven't talked since last week.
Oh, my God. Crazy. Guys, we are getting our kinks worked out and figured out and exciting new stuff coming to play with Bloody Disgusting. Do you feel like we're, like, because I obviously want the show to grow and I want it to be bigger and I know that we can be a little bit more polished. Do you always feel like you're, like, poking? Like, hey, remember me? Don't forget me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know.
Because we can only do so much, you know? Like, we want help. We want help. Because I think that's the way you learn things and grow and become bigger is, like, if more people are, like, involved and you know, it's not just your fucking ideas. Yeah. And it's other people's ideas going, oh, well, this is probably what will elevate you.
I mean, I think it's taken the last couple of years for us to figure out what makes us happy and what we really wanted to do. And I think I'm glad that we have only been working for ourselves basically for the last 2 years. Yeah. So we could make it as authentic. We didn't have anyone telling us what they thought would be cool. It's just kind of us. And it gave us a chance to let people see, like, an unproduced side of who we are, you know?
They're like, okay, cool. We've been seeing it. We don't like it.
Yeah, can you put on some makeup?
This is us, bare bones. This is bare bones.
But I mean, I like that. Like, I like seeing people in their environment. I like the shows that I like is just not produced. It's raw. It's real. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I want to see. That's what I like to watch. So, but I like reality TV. So I'm not. I'm asking the wrong. You know, asking the wrong person. But I do think, you know, when we had Corey Feldman on back, you know, in the very beginning, we had some really big people on. And I remember that was kind of when we were like, we have to focus. I'm excited about the video part of it. And I wanted to make it super cool and creative. And we had all these ideas for, like, animation stuff. And remember I gave them that, like, crazy list of, like, different clips to pull from different outlets that I'd found of Corey when he was talking about things, like when he was, you know, did the people's, you know, this thing or the kids thing or that thing. So I think that is more entertaining.
Yeah, but it was you producing, it was me producing, and now we're like, okay, here it is.
I think
this is what we want to do.
Know. I mean, do you think I've yet to find a team other than you where I can say, I have this idea, help, and then we kind of, you bring to the table what I bring to the table, where I feel like we're always sort of going, here's the idea, now can you do this? It's like when your husband or your partner's like, you know, make a list for me of what you need me to do. It's like, if it takes me more time to make a list, it would take us more time to tell a producer what they needed to do, which is the way that it's kind of been going, instead of finding someone to come on that just goes like, all right, we're going to produce a show for you. Here's what we're going to help with. So I think we're still, yeah, I definitely feel like, hi, what about me?
I think that's what it was. It was like, well, we kind of had that foundation.
Yeah.
We had it. It's like, this is what we've been doing.
Yeah. I want to keep it that way.
And people went, okay, cool, great. Let's do that. But then it just kind of, it's very hard to, like, be like, oh, okay, well, it's not going that way. But I also want to, like, collaborate with other people. It's just like, we wanted to grow from what we were.
Yeah.
And then elevate it a bit. Yes. So now I feel like we have to go back and be like, okay, let's just kind of go back to what we were doing, but then what are your guys' ideas to elevate it? Because that's what we need help with, obviously, to grow the audience.
Yeah, I want to know what everybody wants. I mean, we always ask that, like, what do you want to see?
I know, we literally
do. What can we do? Because we have our loyal, faithful followers. You know, we've got our crew. We know who you are. You're the ones that write in. You're the ones that come to the lives. You're the ones that, you know, buy our merch. Like, we totally know you on a personal level. And I love that. Now we're meeting you at shows and stuff and really getting to put a face with, you know, the names. But there's only so many questions or, you know, know, maybe you guys don't have the time to want to sit and write all your shit down. So we were trying to think of a way to incorporate, like, to interact with you guys more. Maybe we have, like, a, you know, I don't know if you've been listening from the very beginning, you guys, but we very first started, we were like, okay, love lines. Like, how can we get people just to call in and ask us questions? That would be more interesting and more, like, off the cusp instead of taking the time to read and think about what our answer would be. And we got some crazy, was it like episode 4 or 5, something like that? We got some crazy fucking.
Something very, very in the beginning. So we figured that we could do like an anonymous Bloody Disgusting is going to help us figure out an anonymous platform that we can use both for phone calls and emails. So it's not just us like getting them in our emails. So then
we could feature your voice if you leave a voicemail. Mm-hmm. We can feature that on the show. You don't have to say your name or whatever. And it could be comments. It could be about world news. It could be about true crime. It could be about sex. It could be about relationships, like horror movies, whatever it may be. I want to just connect on a personal level.
Because it's interesting because, you know, like I was saying in the meeting, it was when we are at cons, I have more people come up to me and ask me advice than what we get in our email.
Oh yeah.
And it's so funny because I feel like that is like anonymous. So maybe if we maybe that's not the thing. Maybe people don't want to be anonymous. So that's why we thought maybe this phone call situation might be an interesting thing. So then we can really like also hear it in your tone.
Yeah.
What you know, like your story, so we can like make sense of it a little bit more. It probably might even help us.
And also, like, I'm down to hear people tell me stories about their local true crime or whatever they were involved in, or their friend, or, you know, maybe their friend was murdered, or their brother or sister. Or they, you know, like, I want to know from the person that has experienced what that feels like. I want the retelling of the story, not just us reading it from something that had happened, but I want to know, because we get those emails too of like, did I tell you, you know, do you ever hear about the story? That's my hometown. That was my cousin, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to put a face with the text, like a sound, a voice with the text, so I can really feel it instead of like just reading it out loud.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we're down to try whatever. We like doing this and we think it's really interesting and we want it, like I said, we want it to grow. So any new things that we can provide the audience members that are listening out there to kind of make them feel like they're being heard or interacting with the show a little bit more, I think it could be interesting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
I love Howard Stern. I always talk about him. And what I love is hearing people call in. I don't know.
That's why I like Dr. Drew Loveline. Yeah. That's why I wanted to do the show.
I want to hear. I want to hear it. You know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But it's hard when people, you know, a lot of the people that we have in our audience, we've kind of already answered a lot of their stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't got it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I get that. I get that on a. But it's I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. Now we'll be able to kind of shift more to like videos and stuff like that, which I
always thought
be.
Was more fun to watch us talk about stuff versus just hearing us anyway.
Yeah. That's why it's good for like our Patreon. They're like, yeah, we've been watching you since day one, bitches. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's hard because it's like, it's so much better to, it's like talking to someone on the phone or talking to them over like dinner. You know, like there's just something about seeing the person tell the story versus hearing it read. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like going to dinner with us.
Yeah.
What are you eating? An ice pop.
What is that?
It's an ice pop? Ice pop because it's hot here already.
Oh, really?
Yes. I gardened. I helped my neighbor yesterday. They're having a party today and they're like in over their head with stuff. And I helped them yesterday. I've been learning how to do weed whacking and like got on the big lawn mower, you know, like the one that drives or whatever. It's not like a steering wheel. It's like it shifts and maneuvers and it's what you have when you have a lot of fucking grass. So yeah, I was weed whacking yesterday for shit, I don't know, maybe like 2 hours, like crazy. I never even know how to use one before, but I had my fucking overalls on. I had my farmer's hat on, my glasses. I was like my hiking boots that I bought to go to Zion with you. Like, I had the whole...
Oh my God, you're hilarious.
The whole situation going. And I killed it. I mean, I was like, this is so... I loved it. I love doing, like, dirty stuff. Like, real stuff.
But she would not get in the fucking water at Zion and had to get carried by... my fiance's sister.
I mean, there was a giant scorpion. I love to get down dirty,
but I will not get in the Zion water and go hiking with you, Scout. I love it.
Well, it was fucking freezing, first of all. It was freezing.
Yeah. It's like a cold plunge.
Yeah, but it was over my head, bitch.
Yeah, you're swimming.
Yeah, I'm swimming. So that's different. Like, if I could just like walk through it, you know, but yeah, no. Yeah, funny. I was swimming. I actually was commenting to my neighbor about how she should go to Zion where we went for your bachelorette because it was so beautiful.
So beautiful. I need something like that. I'm trying to, Tom and I are trying to figure out because after our wedding, it's Tom, the next weekend is Tom's birthday. So we're trying to figure out what we're doing. Because we're not going to do a honeymoon because we're trying to save up for a house, but we're trying to figure out what we want to do, but also Tom is feeling very overwhelmed with work and the wedding situation, and he's also been working on a script. So I was like, well, maybe we should just go to Joshua Tree where you can, you know, concentrate. Yeah, I know.
Let's go on vacation so you can work.
That you can work. Yeah. But it's very hard to get him to. I keep on telling him, I'm like, well, you should go away somewhere and like write. But he's like, I don't want to leave. And I'm like, well, I think you should. So you can like, you know, kind of.
Then
so
be
I
present.
Think I might. Yeah. So I think I might do that for him for his birthday. Like
happy birthday. Now go by yourself on vacation in a cabin.
No. Go together. And be like, I'll work on my stuff. And then you can work on yours. And then we can kind of like shroom at night and, you know, come together. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to like. I'm trying to give him because he can't, for some reason, he can't just like sit and like concentrate on it because he's got so much going on. I get it. Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it because I don't get coding and I don't get like having numbers in your head constantly. But I can't imagine that because that would cause me so much stress. So yeah. I don't know how he does that. I fucking pulled something. Right
another
here.
Now up here.
Bro, I know.
Inner thigh, your armpit. What the fuck's going on?
I'm like, because I'm working out and getting wedding prepped. And now, bro, that's not a thumbs up. It's not a thumbs up. But I pulled something like in my armpit. And obviously it was when I was doing push-ups. And it's a little swollen, but I'm like, fuck, I can't not work out. I'm just going to hold my under top of my boob for a second and get this little pain out of here.
Do you?
It hurts.
Have you ever heard of the band Air Supply?
No.
Oh. Okay. How many of you listening? This is like one of those things. This is like when I knew there was an age gap between David and I when he didn't know who Corey Feldman was. I mean, obviously you do because we're friends and whatever, but, and you like those movies, but
yeah.
Air Supply is a band from, I think 70s, 80s. They're like a love song band. You ever hear the song, I'm All Out of Love?
I'm all out of love.
Yeah.
I'm so lost without you.
Yeah, so that's Air Supply. And if you, yes, that's my like karaoke jam. If you listen to their greatest hits, you will know like almost every single one of their songs. I guarantee it. Actually, I don't guarantee it because you're younger than me, but, and I'm old. Folk,
yeah, that's like a lot of, that's like a lot of classics.
A lot of that stuff. So they're coming to concert here.
Cool.
And I'm totally going for David's birthday and I'm going with all of my neighbors. I saw them at the House of Blues by myself back in my early 20s because nobody would go with me to see fucking Air Supply.
That's like me with Nickelback when I was a fan.
I still like Nickelback. I would have gone to see Nickelback with you.
Dude, Chrissy used to tour with them.
Oh my God.
And Chrissy went to...
Chrissy Spider's wife.
Yeah, Chrissy Fox, everybody. She went to a concert, their concert, when they were in town like a couple months ago. And I was like, bitch! She's
totally
like, I didn't know you didn't like them. Like, I didn't know you liked them. And I was like, oh my God, you have no idea. You have no idea. That was like my, I know everybody's like, boo, Scout, boo. Nah, but I don't know.
It's stuff, man. That, like, I like them. With, you know?
I liked them when I was a kid. I liked that. I liked Avril Lavigne and I liked Backstreet Boys.
Like Liz Phair.
Yeah. I was not the cool part of the club, y'all, in my circle.
What happened to Avril Lavigne? Where the fuck has she been? She's making
I went and saw her.
You did? How is she doing?
You know, me and Avril, we sat on the couch and we had a talk. No, I went and saw her when I was filming in Kentucky, when I had my dreads, my Rob Zombie dreads. And I, Paige, my hairstylist and myself were coming back from a road trip. And I was like, Paige, Avril is performing with MGK. Was that his fucking thing?
I don't know.
And Machine Gun Kelly. Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's, I was like, crazy, we gotta go. Mix. Dude, so weird. I was like, we gotta go. So we got tickets. Me, dread blue green fucking hair, white as can be, walking in to Kentucky, and everybody's just like, who the fuck is this chick? And I'm just like jamming out to Avril. But and we stayed for Avril.
I mean, how are they looking at you weird? Like, wasn't everybody that would go see Machine Gun Kelly and Avril Lavigne kind of like that vibe, or no? What was the audience like?
Not in Kentucky. Mm. I was getting a lot of looks in Kentucky. Well, you don't see like a lot of dreads anymore. It's so funny. I don't see many people that have dreads. Hmm. I've been obsessed with dreads forever. So that's why I was, you know, when I was talking to the director and he was like, I want you to have some weird hair. And I was like, dreads. I'll do dreads. But she was great. She was amazing. She put on such a good show.
What do you think about Beyonce doing a country album?
Fucking love it. Whatever. Fucking branch out, man. Yeah. Yeah, I love Beyonce.
They need to buy a house in Texas now. You can't do a country album and be New York, LA. Like, gonna do a country album, at least buy some dirt somewhere. Put down some roots somewhere where there's fucking dirt, you know?
I think they've got other things going on right now.
You think so?
that are taking up the little bit of time right now. We won't talk about that, but that's going to be interesting to unravel and see how that all plays
out,
y'all.
I don't know
the
story. Wait, I don't know what's... I haven't heard. Is it the P. Diddy thing?
Yeah. He's got a lot of people connected to it and to other things.
Oh,
and
fuck. So Jay-Z's possibly connected to it too, maybe?
I'm not sure what's happening, but there's a lot of speculation. But obviously, it's only speculation. It's only speculation, but a lot of people have been coming forward. Well, they've been coming forward for a while, but now they're finally being heard.
So he's like the Heidi Fleiss of like, or whatever.
It's crazy. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
This whole thing is so, I don't know. The world is fucking weird. Like, I can't even believe that people traffic humans. I can't believe that men could take women and boys and girls and whatever and like possess them in a way of like, I own you and you're going to go have sex with that person, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do this, or like, how does, I don't understand. I don't understand.
I don't get it. And I wonder why it's like so in heightened right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just fucking hearing about it.
We're just hearing about it.
Yeah. Which it's been happening forever. I mean, Tyler Mayne came on the show and talked a little bit about it. There's a lot of stuff that I've been seeing on TikTok where like mothers of the person are sharing their stories of their daughters who were taken and they were able to hire someone to bring them back. But like that's fucking insane. And a lot of people, like I brought it up, like a lot of it is happening in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In LA. It's crazy. It's just fucking nuts. It's so weird. I don't understand what is going on with our world and our people that are living in it. I don't get it. I really don't.
I know. People just need to be kind to one another. I know that sounds fucking hippy dippy hocus pocus, but like, I don't understand why the world is so fucking evil sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like,
maybe.
You guys are boring me with your talking about being good people. Let's
talk
about
while we make
movies.
Horror movies. Yeah. While we make horror movies that kill people and make serial killers.
I started watching X. Was it X that was that you and I were talking about like a while ago? With Brittany Snow.
A bunch of people. Yeah.
It was, I started watching the first, like, I watched like the first half of it. Then the kids were in the room. I was like, I probably should fucking turn this off. I fucking loved it from what I've seen. Like, and like titties, like good for them. You know, I wonder, I don't know if that was their first time, but yeah, that's Ty West movie. I was like, damn, this is super cool.
Yeah.
No,
it's very stylized. I loved it.
I thought they all did a really good job. What I was thinking about was, you know, the scene.
It was a it was okay. It was simply shot with a not so simple subject,
right?
Which play hand in hand for a really cool like backdrop, you know. Like,
how did they do? I always wonder, like, how they do the sex scenes where
you love to talk about how people do the sex scenes.
Yeah, because I wonder, like, I mean, how we've all done them,
what
right?
Do you mean? I don't understand.
They're like naked. I haven't done one naked, I guess. I mean, the closest I came to it was in Halloween, right? Where it like boobies kind of. But I've only done one sex scene where I actually was doggy style and like the guy was like, you know, I was moving myself, right?
Yeah.
So, but I was watching the movie going, he's fucking pounding her. Like their bodies are, but I was trying to see like, where is his crotch in regards to where she is? Like, what could be in the middle of that? Like, how do they do it? I don't know. I'm like just a regular person watching movies of like, how do they make that happen?
You have to be very comfortable with your scene partner and yourself. I mean, obviously they can put, you know, moleskin, but like that fucking moleskin's going to like, off. There's no way.
No, you sweat and it comes off in 2 seconds. I'm always like, fuck it, whatever. Yeah,
that's
super
hard.
There was especially a lot now, of that stuff.
Well, now with like intimacy coordinators and stuff, like you can't get away with like what we would have gotten away with back in the day. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, take it off. Like, let's just do it really fast and then get done with it. It'd be like, no. We've got this for you. We've got this for you. We need to reset. It probably was so.
It makes it more uncomfortable for me. Like when we had our scene in your movie, like I don't need to clear a set when I'm have pasties on and I can turn my back while getting in a bed and I'm wearing fucking leggings. All you're seeing is my back, you know, and like no one is touching me. No one is seeing my front.
You don't know anybody on that set. You don't know anybody on that set, really.
Anyway,
but you can. But that's the thing. It's like it's people. It's like you don't. You never know. That's how shit can come out. You know, you never know if like somebody with a phone, somebody like behind monitor, like takes a little screenshot, like your fucking nipple comes out, and then guess what? You're fucked.
Yeah,
like,
but I had pasties on.
I know, but it's like out of respect. It's out of respect of what we've been working so hard.
I mean,
hard.
Listen, I get it, here's where I'm split. As a director, 100%, you know, I've directed intimate scenes before with women. Like I directed a lesbian scene. I directed a rape scene. Like I was very, just like you, and even probably more so, making sure that it was a close set. Everybody was comfortable. We talked about it. We went through the motions. We had a, you know, block. Like everything was done the way that I felt like everybody felt safe and comfortable. But when I'm an actor, I don't want that kind of attention. I don't want that time. I don't want to make it more of a big deal. I just want to fucking do it. So I get it. Like, you know, Halloween, I remember laying on the floor naked and every 5 seconds when they would yell cut, a wardrobe would come over to put the blue bathrobe over me. And I'm like, just leave me here. Everybody that's in the room has already seen my tits. It's a closed set. The 5 people that are there filming, no one else is coming in right now because I'm laying here. If someone does need to come in, then sure, cover me up because I was actually naked. But I don't know. I think it just felt like it drew too much attention to me for me to be comfortable. But again, as a director, I'm the exact opposite. So here I am trying to direct my people the way that I think I would want to be directed, but I just want to be left the fuck alone. I don't know if that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I think it's, I also think that it's not just for you and your comfort.
Yeah.
I think it's for everybody else involved that don't have a voice, like our crew.
Mm.
You know, like I think we, you know, actors, actresses, They get so much attention and so much nurturing throughout this entire thing mm-hmm. that, like, I think when it comes to those scenes, obviously the steps that we've made to with intimacy coordinators and all this stuff to kind of iron out the kinks that we've had throughout the years, we make it seem like it is for the actors.
Right. It's really like, for the producers.
I also think it's for the crew. Yeah. It's for the producers. It's for everybody else too. Cause that, I mean, did you ever stop and think of like what they're feeling?
No.
What this Until fucking you just sound mentioned guy it?
No.
is like thinking like, just like who's married, happily married, like whose wife is probably not fucking cool with this, but like you've got to provide us like, you know, money because I got to feed the kids.
I just like, feel like, but that's our job. Like everyone that's making a movie is like, we're pretending. Like we're actors.
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like if there's not, if it's like hardcore murder or hardcore emotional, like raw or a rape or, you know what I mean? Like something that's sensitive subject, but like just being in a scene where you're under the covers and nothing's actually happening to have to like clear a set is, I guess, it just makes it, I was happy that it's done, but I just don't like the attention that it brings. But I'm not thinking about if crew's uncomfortable with me being naked under the sheet. Like I'm not thinking about that.
When we were doing it, there was a lot of people that were very, like I could sense it. Everybody really? Was just very like, yeah. Oh,
not
yeah.
wanting, like not oh, wanting yeah. to be disrespectful.
I think like when you're an actor, you're not thinking about anybody but yourself.
No, of course. Yeah. 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where the disconnect is. When you're an actor, you're like, it's me, it's my body. Like I should have the say here. It's like,
right.
Well, it's a community. Like we're all in a community and we're all doing this together. So it's not just you and your butt. Like I get that it's your tits, but like we're all doing this together. So we all don't have a say. So it'd be, I think the best thing to do is to just do it the proper way of like, okay.
But again,
set,
you're like,
everybody.
When you think of like this is going to sound, I don't know how it's going to sound, whatever.
Oh boy.
You know what you're signing up for. Like you're a sound man, you're making movies, you read the script, you know there's a sex scene. If you're like, if that's going to make you uncomfortable in any way by me being naked, then maybe you shouldn't be in this, maybe you shouldn't do the movie or you shouldn't do this. Like
I don't think so. I think that's a really bad way to think about it. I really do. Because like we really have worked really, really hard to get to like respect on set.
Yeah.
You know? And when it comes to like the number one thing, intimacy and nudity, like we didn't have like respect from actors and crew and producers. It was always a blurred line.
Yeah.
And now we've worked so hard. So we've come to like an understanding, you know? And so to say to someone, well, don't do this movie because there's a sex scene in it. I don't think that that's fair. Because if we could simply be like, close set, let's drape her, let's undrape her. You know, if we can do that and it's a simple fix, then being like, well, you shouldn't be here because if you have a problem with my boobs, then fuck you. You know, like I feel like that's like unfair. I think
we've gone, I get it. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I understand from an outsider.
Have we gone to an extreme?
Yes.
Have we gone to an extreme with some shit? Fuck yeah, man. I've only worked on one where there was an intimacy coordinator and it was for a simple kiss.
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy. Could you imagine if we had an intimacy coordinator for your guys' stuff?
No.
It would have been... So I get that.
It makes
everything
so much more fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Everybody else is cool. But when you're the one having to do the scene, to have so much attention on you instead of just being left the fuck alone and just let me just do it and feel like you're not here. Because I need to feel comfortable first because I'm on camera. I mean, sorry. Again, if you're crew and you're not cool with this kind of stuff, then don't do it. But if I'm, I know what I'm getting myself into. I know what I'm signing up for. I sign the fucking writers. Like, I'm well aware of what it will entail. We talk about it before the day. So I just want to do what I'm hired to do. And I feel like, I mean, we're basically saying the same thing, but I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like even on your set was actually the first time that I felt in a while like we could have like locker room talk without feeling like someone's going to get in trouble here. Like I'm going to get in trouble for making some comment about something in a sexual way or in a way that might offend somebody. You know what I mean? Which I didn't really even make any comments and nobody really
did. I think that also goes with like the budget. I think that's what it is. It's like the higher the budget is, the more shit we're going to have to deal with every single fucking thing.
And what do you
everybody
mean?
Well, like we were ultra low budget. Like
but
there was going to be
idea was ultra low budget, and I feel like all of the movies I've done in the last couple of years since this everything is kind of hyper, you know, hyper aware of like don't say anything, don't compliment anybody, don't look at someone the wrong way, like you're going to be canceled, like whatever it may be. I'm so like an 80s, you know, kid actor that has worked with like dudes my whole life. So yeah. I'm used to like locker room talk and wanting that kind of, you know, that
dynamic.
I get
it, but locker room talk, it goes back to us like protecting our children and kids and stuff. Locker room talk,
I know,
is not because of what we do as adults. It's because of what we've had to deal with in the past of this industry. And
that
we've
did it around us
so
as children.
Hard. Yeah. To like go, okay, we need to, it's fucking shitty that all of these adults and what we've been getting, the change that we've been getting as adults is happening so fast on this industry set. What we really should be talking about is how fast it's not happening for our younger adults.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think if we can all as adults in this industry show an example of what it needs to be, then maybe it'll fucking get down to the young adults a little bit fucking faster and where it should be, you know?
I mean, I
get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
There's the the fucking vibe is gone. I hate to say it, but it's like,
I know, but like,
look, it's like watching movies. It's the same thing. Let's talk about it. Let's
talk about it. The vibe got fucked. The vibe, like people took
people fucked it up
vibe
because they took everything.
Fucked it up.
I know, but how do we split the difference? Because I want it to be back like that. I don't want I want to be able to not be worried about everything that I say or do and not be offended by everything. But I'm like, fuck, whatever. You know, it's kind of here. Okay. So Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead comes out this week in theaters, right? You guys listening, you've been talking about it.
I thought you weren't even going to say anything about it.
No, you know what? Ironically enough, the producer emailed me. And said, like, here,
I'll read it to you. Hey, I forgot to invite you to the premiere.
Well, so Keith
like,
Coogan,
come on.
Who played
like,
my
you
brother,
should have been the fucking first person to be invited.
Supposedly, this is what he said. Wait,
I'm buying it. I'm Danielle's publicist. The fuck?
Listen, so he goes, because Keith Coogan, who played my brother, right, Kenny, this is our done man, he messaged me the other day and said, hey, are you coming to the premiere? And I wrote him back and I said, I actually didn't get an invite. And he was like, what? That's crazy. You know, something about the publicist said something about some of the invites went to my spam or my junk mail or whatever. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So that was it. And I was like, not a big deal. I'm in Austin anyway. Like, you know, have a great time for me. Tell everybody congrats. And I hope it's very successful. Period. So then the producer emailed me yesterday, said, Dear Danielle, I hope all is well. Keith advised us that you did not receive an invite to the premiere. PR assured us that all invites were sent. Did you receive any emails? If there are plans for additional screenings, I'm going to ask if BET is able to travel you if you are available. I want you to know that I'm so grateful that you took the time to support our film, and I hope we get to collaborate again in the future. Producers were amazing.
Good.
That's why I was
good
like,
for them.
I'm a little confused as to, you know, that would be really weird for me to not get an invite.
You don't know if that's the truth, but good for him for even stepping up and going, oops, fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't want this relationship burned.
Right.
She should have been there. My fuck up. Okay, let's figure it out. That's good.
So then
that's
I wrote him.
That's great.
saying, I didn't get it, you know, wish you much success. I wrote him, I did wish you get, you know, I actually didn't get the an invite. I would love to come if there were, if there are any other screenings. Thank you for reaching out to me in the hope the movie has a shit ton of success. And then he wrote, hello, thank you. I apologize about the invite. We wanted you to be there. We have an idea for press for you. I'm adding the team and we will come back to you as soon as possible.
Good.
So
good. Yeah, yeah, it's strange that they didn't even run with that though, too. Like you doing press
they didn't
for
even
the movie.
Announce Keith Dude. And I are in Don't Tell Dude. Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So what does that mean?
That's crazy. I don't know. I don't know.
Barely any press.
Did you have like the rights to view it? I wonder if like your stuff is still there.
I only have one scene.
I hope so.
It's only one scene. They're not. Yeah. Yeah. It would. It's like.
But that's like bad marketing on their like their end. Like they could
have
had like
me.
They could have had all these fucking outlets with you guys. Like they're Tons. Returning. Bah, you know?
I mean,
they could have had so much press.
That would be the way for people that love the movie, that love us in the movie.
To go see it
because they're not going. I don't know if it's for this audience. I don't know what the feedback is. I hope it's. I mean, I think the script is pushing boundaries. I think it's very funny. Otherwise, I would not have done it. I love the movie. I love the original. I'm not trying to recreate it. We're not trying to do something. But the moral of the story of the movie is the same. I mean, it's interesting to see. What happens now when you have to grow up and be an adult way before you're supposed to be? Like, what do you do? How do you come together to survive? How do you pull together as a family? Like, these are all things that are very relevant to the time. And I feel like kids can learn from and watch from. Is there kind of risque choices with some of the scenes and the dialogue? And yes, they've been trying to make this movie for 10 years. So I feel like this movie 10 years ago would have been like, boom, would have exploded. But it maybe wasn't the right time because it is centered around an African-American family. But now it's been pushed so into this time that we're in of like everything is so fucking woke that I feel like it's going to get pushback because people assume that they're just recreating everything with, you know, different ethnicities now. Like we have nothing left to do. Let's just recreate what were once like white kid movies and let's just change same story, same characters, same dialogue, and let's just make them a different color and see what
happens.
Yeah,
but also people should eat dirt and rocks.
Yeah.
Like if that's what they're looking at.
Well,
eat dirt and rocks.
Of
like,
course.
It doesn't, that's also didn't even come across my mind. Like, eat fucking rocks and dirt. Who gives a fuck? It's a remake. Who cares what the fuck?
I know.
Like people shouldn't even be, God, people drive me nuts.
But at that's the same time.
It's a remake. Go see it. It's a remake.
Yes.
Get the
yes.
fuck.
Agree. Again, I've been saying from the beginning, it pushes boundaries in the other direction. You know, there are comments in it about, cool, we gave it's in the preview of the trailer, it was like, you know, which I thought it was super funny, like, cool, we get to stay home like white kids, like whatever that, I don't even really know what that means, but I'm not black. I don't maybe get the humor of like of some of the jokes. So while I'm like, should I be offended by that? Like, I don't fucking care. Like, I'm not offended by stuff, you know, because there's nothing racist in any direction about the stuff that they're saying. But they are definitely pushing the envelope with some stuff. And I hope that it's well received. And I hope that people go see it. And I hope that they enjoy it for what it is, because it's super funny from the script. Again, I haven't seen the movie and I'm a part of it. And Keith is a part of it. And, you know, give it a try. I think it's clever. And everybody that was involved in it were such big fans of the movie from a million years ago and have been trying to make this happen. So I hope that it's, you know, people can give it a little bit of grace and just keep an open mind and go see it for what it is and not compare it to the original because it's not the same. There, I said it.
All right. Let's see here. Have you heard of Brian Cohey?
Brian Cohey. Sounds familiar.
He was, apparently this was like a few years ago. And or maybe it's a few years ago, maybe it's only like a year or whatever. It was this kid who decapitated a homeless man.
Okay.
At 11 o'clock at night and took this homeless man's head in hands back to his house and hid them. And they were sitting there, I think, for a few weeks until his mother.
Under his bed, right?
Maybe
that's another story.
I think it was in the closet.
Okay.
In the closet or something. And his mother discovered it and called the cops. So I have video and audio
here. Oh, God.
From
her call to 911?
No, not the 911 call because I thought that was too intense. But from the officers arriving on set, the officer arriving at the scene. Look, I don't fucking believe this. I'm like, we're filming
this
a fucking
movie.
This has
got to be a movie because someone's going to film a decapitated head
so he,
of a
he's arriving
man.
To the crime scene,
okay.
discovering the head in the house, okay. and then some of
his
the
body
interviews.
Cam
yes. Some
see,
of the
do,
interview
do you see the,
of him.
Do you see the head or any of the body parts
gnar,
in the video
gnar.
From the
it's
body
all
cam?
Blurred. It's all blurred, but it's all going to be audio anyways. Here we go. Okay, so this is going to be a bit because I want to play a couple of videos for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, man. How much?
Okay, so parents have some concerns of some stuff they may have found in your room?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what would it be?
A human head and hands.
Do you have anything on you that's going to cut, poke, hurt, stick me anything without reaching for nothing? Don't reach for nothing.
My phone and my wallet. That's
okay.
it.
Well, I'm gonna have you face that way. Put your hands on top of your head for me, real quick. I just want to make sure you interlace your fingers for me, real quick. All right. I'm gonna have you walk over here. You're gonna sit in the back of my partner's patrol car for a minute, okay?
Not yet.
Okay. Just sit back there and hang out for me, okay?
Now the officer is walking to the
officer's
house.
Officer's like, "Oh, for fuck's sake! Oh my God, what the fuck is going on?"
Okay. Let me do it. You go inside.
Well, let's stay out here with me for a minute.
Sit down. Come on, sit down, dude.
Can I go in there and verify here?
Oh
first?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Well, we haven't seen it. Yeah, we haven't. It's under the towel in the sink.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure that guy goes in the car first.
I have to check there. You can go in the same place.
So he's walking to the house.
This weekend, okay. She said there's a bag in his closet, and she opened it up, and she called me and said, "You don't get right now."
They put the head in the sink and covered it with a towel.
Yeah. Just sit back there and hang out for a minute, okay?
How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you? You said your name is Ryan?
Yeah. I'm not feeling too well.
You're not feeling too well? All right.
No, these past few days I've been very, very anxious.
That's understandable. What we're going to have you do here is I'm just going to have you sit in the back here, okay? I'm going to turn on the air for you in a second. That way you're not too hot. Are you a hot-blooded or cold-blooded kind of guy?
I am very cold-blooded. I prefer cold. Well, no, actually, sorry. Hot-blooded.
So you prefer the cold. Okay, fantastic. All right. So hop in here. I know you're tall, so it's a little bit of a tight squeeze, but like I said, I'll get that air on for you.
Sorry about that.
He said he's cold-blooded.
I know. He's like, I'm cold-blooded. He's like, no, yeah. I'm hot. Oh, my God. Okay, so I have some stuff from the interrogation. It might be out of sequence, but I just wanted to play some of it.
I stabbed his ribs, opened up his belly, sliced his leg multiple times, de-robed him, and then decapitated him, removed his hands, his joints.
Did you de-robe him before or after you opened his belly?
After I opened his belly.
So you cut through his clothes to open?
No, I lifted up his shirt and just...
Okay. Which way did you go? Like here this way or like this way?
No, this way across his belly.
Okay.
If what Brian
oh my God. The way that he's like describing...
Disemboweling him entirely.
Okay. Did you disembowel him at all or just cut him open?
I cut him open, but his organs spilled out by themselves when I was dumping him.
Did you take anything besides his head? Like anything internally?
No.
How did you know it was his liver? I mean, you ever go hunting, or how do you know it's somebody's liver when you open them up?
It's dark, purple, brownish.
Okay.
It's large up here. I just knew it was a liver. I've taken anatomy and physiology,
okay.
So I knew it was his liver.
That makes sense. I was just curious if you ever seen one before, or you're just guessing, or how you know.
I've seen some.
Oh my God, what a crazy ass. Hold on, there's another one I have.
This is him. I have a strap on top of him like this.
Okay.
And he couldn't fight back. It was actually surprisingly easy. He was saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Ah!" And I just kept on stabbing his neck. I was so excited, so rushed up on adrenaline. Okay. But he
This is Brian Cohey.
Dude, he's like smiling during the entire...
The head, put it in a leftover box. I always wanted to know what it felt like to stop someone. It was just curiosity, more or less.
On March 1st,
oh my God.
You
want
to know what it'd be
so
like to cut somebody?
Yeah.
Or kill somebody.
He was so cut someone and kill someone. He was so excited. Like, he was demonstrating all of it. He was drawing diagrams and he was like, ha! And then he's like, oh, so sorry that I'm sorry. You know? He's like, sorry, it's just exciting. What the fuck? What the fuck? How was there no signs or, like, I don't understand. I think there was another video, if I remember correctly, like, they asked, like, have you tried anything with animals and stuff? And he was like, yeah. I'm like,
that's
dude.
How it starts, right? Didn't you see Halloween, Scout?
I know, but, like, there has to be fucking signs something. That we just, like, why don't, like, why do we just ignore these fucking signs and go, oh, that person's just a weirdo. It's like, no, the person's going to fucking kill someone or have someone locked up right now.
Because maybe, like, they won't. Maybe they are just a little bit off. Maybe they are, you know, I don't know. Maybe as a parent, it's embarrassing to, maybe you're it's your child. You raise them and they're evil people.
If Carter,
it's very difficult to say,
sliced a dog.
Do you think I would call the police?
No, I don't think you'd call the police. What would you do, though? Like, what would
I would
you
get
do?
My kid in therapy.
Therapy, right?
Like fucking intensive therapy.
Yeah.
And
no,
watch
some
him.
Some people just don't. They just are like, ah, oh, there's been a kid. It's like, ah, what?
Maybe they don't want to bring attention to themselves because they feel like it's their fault. It probably is their fault. Do you think it's their fault?
Is. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Half the shit
nature,
now the
nurture,
kids are learning
can't
is
figure
from
it out.
Fucking schools now. I'm like so scared of like what kids
YouTube?
Are learning and do that YouTube fucking games. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
it's so nuts.
It's way too fast.
It's fucking bonkers, bro.
And so
bonkers.
There's the, you've heard about the kids in Arizona that beat the kid to death at the Halloween party that like bashed his head in the concrete. And they were like a gang of kids that it's like all over the news now that are charged with his murder.
In the river?
Preston. Shit, I have to look it up. But the parents are now being questioned and are being taken into custody because they like completely helped orchestrate, help their children hide all of these things when they started finding out. Even to the point of like, even one of the kids was like talking about how they were going to pretend, they were going to turn, they were all turning against each other as the investigation started. And they were like, we should tell on so-and-so because then they would get the $10,000 reward, even though they were also involved in the whole process. And it's like a whole,
what
it was just
fucking
a whole
sickos.
Thing. There's a lot
Are
of them too.
Are you kidding me?
And there's like, and because they're like wealthy Arizona kids, they're getting a lot of, you know, you just see the dynamic of the parents. You can see like what they knew, when they knew it, and how they tried to cover it up. Yeah, I mean, there's two
Hell
kinds
no.
of parents. The parents that covered up and the parents that do what this woman did and call the cops. And it yeah. just, you're grieving for the loss of your son that you'll never have again because that world as you know it no longer exists.
Yeah. I just watched, did you watch, I know this is like off, well, it's not off topic of murder, but Yolanda and Celinda?
I did.
You watched that documentary?
I did.
What'd you think of that documentary?
Well, okay.
Dude.
I mean.
So many
questions.
I've had a
lot of people. I've had like, you know, like there have been people that I've become very close to that started off as fans that created, you know, like Logan, who used to work with me, who was like, I mean, he would stay and watch my dogs. Like, he's family to me. So, and he's just someone that was like a fan that, how did he start to know me? Like, he did something up for a school project on me as an actress. So, but, and then I like found out and reached out and whatever. But I mean, she was just, Yolanda was just like a diehard fan that then turned into fan club manager, which was kind of the thing back then before there was, you know, Patreon and in all the other ways to promote yourself as a celebrity and whatever. I don't know. I mean, she just fucking shot her, like this whole like other side of the story. But I mean, her sitting in the car was fucking devastating. I didn't mean to. And, you know, forever and ever and ever and ever. And then they finally got her.
I get what she was saying, but like you brought the gun.
You brought the gun.
You brought the gun.
Yeah. Why?
And you shot it.
Yeah.
You shot it. You yeah. killed someone.
Well, that's why they're like her whatever, the sister and the niece are like, oh, you haven't heard our side of the story. What's your side of the story? What does
it's
it
like,
matter what
that,
her side
I
of the story is?
I get that there was, yeah.
So you were stealing money or something? There was an argument about something? You brought a gun to the fucking
But then
Hook
it
Days
wasn't.
In,
but then it wasn't.
Her.
But then it came to like, she wasn't stealing money. She was doing it for Selena because Selena was having an affair with a doctor in Mexico. And that's what the checks were. And then she was really terrified of the father and she was trying to get out and she felt like she couldn't get out. And so I was like playing in my mind, like that room, like if you bought a gun because you're afraid and then Selena is like, you're not leave, like, you can't leave me, you can't leave the situation, like, I'm nothing without you, like I don't have it, I don't have say, or blah blah blah, all this stuff. And she said that she brought it out to like go like, I don't know what to do but then kill myself. But then when Selena walked to the door, she said she like put it down and it went off.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to put a gun down and have it just go off, I think.
Go off. And she had the gun to her head in the car clocked.
Yeah.
The entire time. And that didn't go off.
Right. Maybe there were no bullets in it.
Maybe. I don't know, man. It's just you still, like, there's consequences with you purchasing a gun and not knowing how to handle a gun. Like, there's consequences. You brought a gun, you killed someone. Whether it was intentional or not, like it's just, I don't know.
In Hayes County, where I live in Texas, there's this story that's been on for the last week that's been devastating. There was a field trip for Easter a week or so ago carrying pre-K kids, I think 40 of them and 20 parents, and a school bus on their way back from like an Easter egg hunt going back to their school. They were on a 2-lane road, you know, like down, like over here on 290, like right where Dripping is or whatever. They're on the 2-lane road and, you know, cars go pretty fast. And a guy driving a cement truck just crossed over the line into an oncoming school bus. Just hit, maybe like two feet, but was swerved into the lane, and it hit the school bus and it flipped the school bus, and there were no seatbelts. Because only in 2017 they started making school buses mandatory to have seatbelts. And this is a 2011 or 12 school bus that had no seatbelts. So everybody was thrown, and a little boy died. And a person in a follow car, and a medical student, 33 years old, Charger or something, he also died. But the driver on the scene had admitted to police immediately that he was high on cocaine and that he'd also smoked weed the night before, and that he'd only had
the driver of the cement truck
that he was on cocaine and that he had smoked weed the night before and that he'd only had 2 hours of sleep. So they obviously immediately just took him in, and he's going to, and now the owner of the cement truck company is also going to probably go to jail because he didn't do background check. I guess he had failed a drug test 3 times and wasn't supposed to be driving. And
oh my God.
So there's, you know, a 5-year-old that's dead, and a 33-year-old man that's dead, and a 40 children that are fucking traumatized to exist. Yeah. And so there's the dash cam footage from the school bus of seeing the cement truck veer into it and then seeing the flip. And it's so hard for me to, I play it over and over and over and over again in my head and make sure, like, you know, just thinking about like when I drop the kids off at school this morning and kissing them and like you never want that to be the last, you know, the last thing, but it's, I can't get out of my head. It reminds me of this. There's a story years and years and years ago, my eyebrow chick, I don't know if I ever told you, and it's a horrible story. I don't know why we're talking about horrible things, but that's what we do on Talk Scary to Me. She had a little girl. And I think she was 8 months or something. She went back to work, and her nanny was driving. This is in LA. Her nanny was driving, and she gave the baby like trail mix or something that was like the baby choked. And she finally got the car pulled over and got the baby out and was unable to get whatever was lodged in her throat out. And
they invented that thing.
I have it in my kitchen and I have it in my car.
Yeah.
In my car and in the kitchen.
Good.
Because I'm fucking always petrified of my kid choking to death. Yeah, I see that text coming in, by the way. Mm-hmm. Guys, we have a big meeting. I'll tell you the story and then I'll tell you something positive, then we'll get off. Anyway, her baby died. And her baby died, but her baby ended up dying. And I just couldn't. Like, every part of my being for years would constantly replay that moment of like getting the call that something has happened to your child when you were, and that you are not in control of. And it's, I would cry. I mean, it was probably a good year where I would cry randomly over the thought of this poor woman losing her child like that. Now she was able to go through IVF. She had the same IVF doctor as me. So she was able to then have other babies because she was a little older. So she did it, and she has twins now, and they're healthy and everything's great. And I just can't imagine surviving something like that as a parent. Yeah,
That'd be really rough.
On the flip side, you guys were working super hard on our movie that we're doing. Scout and I just became an official LLC production company. I've got the big books, the hard books that I'm looking at right now. The big binders that came from LegalZoom, and we're gonna do our movie. And we have a very big meeting with a very big scream queen horror icon about being in the movie with us. And we're gonna go right now. So cross your fingers, and
you're going to try to
convince her to work for us. owing favors, maybe. I don't know what we can do. I'll do anything.
Hopefully it goes better.
We gotta go take that call and wish us luck, guys. And happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, y'all. Bye.
Next week. Bye.